Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Thank you very much for joining today. My name is Jimmy. There's three things I want to talk about in the world of Major League Baseball. One, a new defensive metric I just made up, and you guys will let me know if it's good or bad, interesting or not interesting, but I made it up. How's your team rank in the defensive metric I just made up? Two, scoring tendencies, best and worst, big innings, comeback innings, all that good stuff. Three, highest, lowest, most inside, most outside pitch that's been hit for a hit this season. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe, leave a comment, like it. All that stuff does really help. And remember, Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. Catch my breath, and then we will begin.
One, two, three.
These things come in three.
Three things. Very dull indeed.
Okay, thing number one, a new defensive stat I made up. I'm calling it right spot. Yeah, right spot. Right spot metric, all right? I've been kind of interested in defensive shifts recently because when I went to Fenway and saw the Red Sox play and the Yankees play, the game, I think I even might have talked about this on here or I talked about somewhere. I talk a lot of places. I thought the Red Sox had a lot of spots where their infield just caught line drives right at them or hot shots, and the Yankees were the opposite. And I was like, damn, I think the Red Sox shifting was better than the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees are this great at that. And I wanted to see if I could develop a system to check in on this and then compare it to all the other defensive metrics we have. So what I did was, and stay with me, and I should let you guys know, I don't think I'm smart. I don't think I'm a genius. I'm not going to stand by everything I say, no matter what. Sometimes I do these and people that are smart and love baseball and baseball stats will get like angry and they'll be like, you didn't account for this. Oh, this stat is flawed because of this. Okay, great. Help add to the conversation. But I just like messing around with stats and finding out what I find out. So let that be the energy and vibe of this. But come on. We're all nerds here. Let's nerd out. Act like we're smarter than we are. First thing I did, I went and I found all the ground balls that were hit 95 miles per hour or harder. So ground balls hit hard, hot shots, bam. You know, you're not going to have time to really track them down. And maybe I could up that, maybe not. I don't know. That's what I did. 95 mile per hour exit velo ground balls. How many has your team let up? And then how many have you converted to outs? So within the metric, it's a little bit fielding percentage. How many have you converted to outs, right? Then I took line drives in between 5 degrees and 15 degrees launch angle. And I did go and watch a ton at all of the degrees. And if it's two or three, there was a bunch that bounced. If it was 17, 16, it was, you know, uncatchable. And there will always be some that are uncatchable, some that bounce. But I did, the best landing spot for me was in between 5 degrees of launch and 15 degrees of launch. Most of those are around head high or under and can be caught by an infield if he's standing right there. So I wanted to see, not skill-based, just are you standing in the right spot? How often has the spot that you're standing resulted in an out? Because there's some stats out there that grade like when they're in a defensive shift, they've recorded this many outs. It's like, well, the times they choose not to shift, they should also get credit if they record an out there because they know that this is a batter and this is a pitch and this is a situation where we should just play straight-up defense. So I don't like when they do that. So this is all balls hit. All right. And then I combine the two. So it's just kind of hot shots, fast ground balls or line drive outs. And I combine the two and combined, you know, how many times the fielding percentage on those hits basically from infielders. So how many times did an infielder record an out on balls hit that way? Does that make sense? So I know I'm talking fast, but it's basically a hot shot on the ground or a liner that you can catch if you're standing in the right spot. And it's a team stat, not an individual stat. How many times did that team record an out? So the team that has had the most ground balls over 95 miles per hour is San Francisco Giants, 536. And the least, Minnesota Twins, 366. So that's just pitching staff tendencies more than anything else. The best team at converting hot shot ground balls to outs is the Texas Rangers. 64.55% of the time, they're converting 95-mile-per-hour ground balls into outs. And the Detroit Tigers are number two, and the St. Louis Cardinals are number three, and the Colorado Rockies are number four, and the Guardians are number five. That's your top five there. Now, your bottom five are the Boston Red Sox. They're not in the right spot on grounders that much, so maybe I was wrong. Maybe. The Chicago White Sox, they're not in the right spot that often. They're ranked 27th. All these teams are 58%. And then the San Diego Padres are 56%. They're 30th. And I think they got a good defense. But again, this isn't a defensive skill metric. Obviously, you have to convert the play. Even if you're in the right spot, you still need to catch the liner, catch the ground ball, complete the play. I think this is much more the analytics department for the team, or the player's intuition if they're moving on their own. So that's the top five and the bottom five. Now I'm going to expand it out and get line drives in here. The team with the best percentage, the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's quite the jump, you know. So 33.64% of line drives hit between 5 and 15 degrees of launch. They convert for the out they catch, or knock down and throw, I guess. The next team is 27, then 27, then 26, then six teams have 25. So that jump from second place, 27, to first, 33, is quite the leap for the Phillies. They're catching liners. And something I wanted to look at was, is this just a height-based stat? Bryce is 6'3", Stott's 6'3", Sosa's 6'0", and Turner 6'2". So they might just be tall. Let's go check out that theory against Boston, who's in second place. Dom Smith is 6 foot, Valdez 5'8", Devers 6 foot, Rafaela 5'9". So the height theory is come and gone. It's out the window. We're over it. We're done with it. Boring. Anyway, the top teams, Philly, Boston, Seattle, Dodgers, and then Atlanta, by a tiny bit over Texas. So that's your top five converting hot shot line drives into outs, being in the right spot for a line drive. You don't got time, you know, it's got to be right at you. Your bottom five will be the Cardinals, Oakland, Anaheim, Angels, Rockies, and Tampa Bay. Tampa's not good. They're 30th. So then what I did is I combined the two. And this is where I might lose people. Like, you can't do that. I have no idea. You know, I'm just doing whatever I want to do. I'm just a guy with a Google sheet and a bunch of stats and making up whatever I want to do and playing around. It's baseball. And that's how I like consuming it, which is not how majority of people like consuming it. Most people just watch. They don't do this weird shit. Like, I'm a scientist. I'm not really smart. So the worst team total at line drives and hot shot grounders is the San Diego Padres. They're ranked 30th at this. Now I think the Padres infield's good. Obviously, Arraez is a butcher. Manny, just talked to Ryan Cohen in the office, said he had half the year he's like battling something. It wasn't every day he struggled, so maybe that hurt him. But they're 30th. And then Tampa Bay's 29th, which is very interesting for the next part of this. But Tampa Bay is not good at being in the right spot. Second worst. Oakland, not good at being in the right spot. The Angels, not good at being in the right spot. The White Sox, not good at being in the right spot. The best teams at being in the right spot overall on grounders and line drives are Texas Rangers. They're number one. Seattle Mariners, number two. They're smart over there. The Phillies, they're third. Giants are fourth, and the New York Mets are fifth. How about that? Okay. So then I was very interested to go find which teams shift the most and compare it to these numbers that I have here. So that's exactly what I did. And I used Inside Edge because, like, what is a shift? What's not a shift? I'm not going to go watch all of the shifts, right? I'm not going to do that. So I went Inside Edge has this metric of defensive shifts used percentage. And guess who shifts the most in all of baseball? The Tampa Bay Rays. Surprise, surprise. They shift 82.4% of the time, which ranks them number one shifters. And it ranks them 19th in hard hit ground balls, 30th in line drives for an overall right spot ranking of 29th. You're not shifting smartly, Tampa. You guys are not in the right spot. You know, line drives, that's when a guy gets a hold of one. He hits it to probably where his tendencies say he's hitting it. What are you doing over there? I don't know what's going on. But Tampa fans, does that correlate with what you've been watching? Toronto is, they shift the second most. And I knew that because the Yankees play in the AL East. And when you could shift, they did so many four outfielders, Toronto, and they did all this stuff. So they do like shifting. It hasn't really helped them either. They're not top of the pack as far as right spot rankings. My metric that I made up that might hold water, might not. The Dodgers, they shift the third most. It's helping them on line drives. It's helping them on line drives. They're fourth. And Boston, this is where it gets interesting, because Boston shifts the fourth most, 69% of the time. And they're second in line drive ranking, which is what I saw when the Yankees went up there. And I was telling Jake, I was like, dude, they caught every hot shot line drive. It was right at them. It blew me away. So they're shifting well on line drives, not well on ground balls, which is, I think ground balls can be funkier because you can hit a ball 95 miles per hour, but you know, you're blocking an outside pitch instead of pulling it. Like, you're not getting it to your tendency, so you could shift wrong for that. Like, I'd be interested to find a team that's really bad at both or a team that's really good at both. Texas is pretty good at both, but most teams are, if they're good at line drives, they're not great at ground balls because of what I just said. Like, Philly is first line drives, but 29th in ground balls. I think that goes to what I'm saying, that line drives is where a guy's going to hit it to his tendency. So that's a better gauge of, like, are you shifting to when a guy gets it? Maybe I should have upped the ground ball to like 100 exit velo, but I think that limits some. I don't know. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. So anyway, the team that shifts the least is should be a surprise to no one, the Colorado Rockies, because everything we've heard is they don't even have an analytics department, just like two guys. And that helps them on ground balls because they're like equidistant away and they can go run and move and get them. But they're terrible on line drives, which I think makes sense to me. Like, you're shifting for line drives and they're awful at that. But then the Phillies, they also don't shift a lot at all. But they're first in line drives, 29th in ground balls, third overall. So I don't know. And then what I did just to compare this for a bunch of other stuff is I got all the other defensive metrics you have, which I don't know how much I even care about any of these, but some people like these. I don't really, I like outs above average for infielders. I don't love the rest, especially on a team level. It's really hard because the shortstop can like the Yankees team stats are good because Volpe just raises them all, but everyone else is bad. But anyway, what I found interesting was if I go to the right spot ranking and I find the best team at it, which is the Texas Rangers, they're first in ground ball rank, six in line drive, first overall. They grade out the best in all the analytics too. They're first in Baseball Savant outs above average. They're first in Fangraphs DRS. They're third in UZR. They're first in Fangraphs outs above average. And they're first in fielding run value from Fangraphs. So the Texas Rangers infield, just on my fake metric I just created and all the other metrics that are fake that those guys just created, but we, you know, they're smarter than me, so we like them. They're good. And they shift right in the middle, like they're 16th. So it's half being in the right spot or a lot being in the right spot, but also can go get it. So put them in the right spot, then they go get it. That's what would be my conclusion. The interesting team is Boston, because Boston shifts a ton. They grade out horribly in all of the Baseball Savant Fangraph metrics. They are 30th, 27th, 26th, 30th in three of them, 26th, 27th. But they're good on line drives. So I think that they're shifting so much because their infield isn't talented. When Joe Maddon went from the Rays to the Cubs, he stopped doing a giant shift. They asked him, he said, well, I have more skill. I don't need to do that anymore. So they are making up for bad defense, according to all the other stats, by good shifting. But then you look at the Rays And the Rays are also great. They grade out horribly in all the other defensive categories. Outs above average Savant, outs above average Fangraphs, UZR, DRS, all of them, they grade out in the mid-20s. They shift a ton because they're making up for not a lot of skill. And they're shifting awfully. They are never in the right spot. Well, the Rays are, I don't know. I thought you guys were supposed to be geniuses. You're not doing a good job according to the metric I made up. I didn't make it up to out you or anything. It just happened to be that way. So that's it. That's everything I looked at, okay? That's the first, I mean, if you want to take a screenshot of this, you can maybe find more. Maybe you guys can find something I haven't seen yet, but that was my right spot ranking, okay? There you have it. If I do it again, maybe I up the ground ball to like 100 exit velo, but I don't even know how much that changes things. Anyway, I got to keep this thing moving. Okay, next up, I want to look at scoring tendencies. So Remarkable by Inside Edge is an awesome database of stats. I love it. Very much enjoy getting lost in this forever. And they have scoring tendencies. And for hitting, I'm going to look at hitting first. Three different innings percentage, answer back innings percentage, big innings percentage, scored first percentage. So let me look at this. The Phillies have scored in 69% of their road games this season. That's the highest in MLB. Okay, I want ants. The Twins have answered back in 38% of innings after opponent scores. So I love answer back innings, right? Because on the flip side, you score some runs, and then you want your pitcher to go out there and get a shutdown inning. Well, this is an answer back inning, and we look at the leaderboard here. The best teams offensively at answering back after they give up runs, Twins, Yankees, Orioles, Red Sox. American League, top four. American League East, three of the top four. What of it? Dodgers are number five. They're 33%. We have the bottom. Marlins are terrible at this. Tigers are bad. Rangers are bad. White Sox are bad. Mariners are the worst of the playoff hopeful teams at this. They're bottom. And you love a good answer back inning, right? I want to see three different innings. They score in three different innings. White Sox are the worst at this. Scored three different innings percentage this season. So the best at scoring in three different innings over the course of a game. Red Sox, Twins, Yankees, Orioles are all in the top five again. Good offenses. Way to go. Dodgers switch to the fourth and Orioles are the fifth. So same five teams make up the top five, which makes sense. If you can score in multiple innings, you're going to get the answer back inning. The worst teams, I wonder if it's the same five. It is, just a different order. Tigers, Rangers, Marlins, Mariners, White Sox. So those are kind of the same stat, I guess. Let's look at big innings, okay? This is what made the Diamondbacks and the Rangers so good in the postseason last year is when they scored, especially the Rangers, that when they scored in an inning, they scored three runs that inning. Like they got you... And they got you big. They didn't just scrape one and then one and then one. So I think this is pretty big. You know, some people call it cluster innings. That's another stat. So big innings. What do you know? White Sox are the lowest. They're the worst at scoring big innings. All right, we got some NL on the board. We got a bunch of new teams on the board, actually. The Brewers, they're first. 7.2% big innings. Atlanta Braves are tied for first. Same. And there you go. You got the Rangers. So the Rangers were just bottom on answer back innings. They're bottom five and multiple innings. They're bottom five, but they're third on big innings where they score three or more runs in an inning. And that who they were last year. So that makes sense. Their offense gets rolling. Orioles, I think, were also really good at this last year, but got in the postseason. They're tied for fourth with the Astros. And then the worst teams, you have the White Sox, the A's, the Angels, the Marlins, and then the Cardinals. Are not a good big inning team. One more scoring tendency is scored first. All right, the Angels have the lowest scored first percentage this year. Then the Nationals, the Rockies, the A's, the Marlins. Bad teams. They don't score first. Let's see, the D-backs score first. Is that just a Marte effect? The Phillies score first. They got a good top of the order. The Mariners score first. A lot, 57% of the time. That's pretty cool because the Mariners' offense isn't great, and that probably gives the pitchers nice leads. Orioles are on here, and Tigers. So the Orioles, I think, have been on every list offensively that we've looked at in these scoring tendencies. That's really good. Last but not least segment, we're looking at the most to the left of home plate, to the right of home plate, above, below hits of the season thus far. So this one is to, from the pitcher's perspective, this is to the right of the plate. And this is the ball most to the right that's been hit. It was negative 172. Is that inches? I don't know what that is. I tried to guess last time. I got it wrong. People got upset with me. And he just throws the bat at it. Grounds past, bare hand, can't come up with it. He's safe. Okay. That doesn't scream bizarre to me. I mean, he went out there and just like tapped it. I can't believe that's the farthest. I would have thought it would have looked way different. Let's go look at the Bryce Harper has one that is, that was negative 172. This Bryce Harper one is negative 171. I just want to see how different it is. And again, if you were listening on audio only, sorry, because this is visually aided. Probably that whole first section is aided by visuals as well, because I was showing the graph and the charts and you could follow along. I apologize by that. This next one to Harper is a 3-2. Oh, I don't know if it's going to load. It's a 3-2 high and away changeup. Oh boy, we got to get out of here. All right, the next one, the most now inside, the most to the left of home plate is a bunt by Will Brennan. It's a sinker that starts way in. Oh no, it's a lefty sinker. So it runs into his body. He's trying to get a bunt down, make it bigger so you can see. And it's about to hit him and it just becomes like protect the body mode. Like his bat becomes a shield and is able to get it down and like a beautiful bunt actually. It's kind of funny because that ball starts running in. Yeah, it's in the batter's box. Next up, we got the lowest ball hit so far. 0.4, I think it's inches. Oh, feet. It says right there on the screen. That's where people got mad at me last time because they were like, it says right there in the screen, Jimmy. Use your eyes. 0.4 feet off the ground on this PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong single. And this is awesome. It's an 0-2 pitch and it just blocks it. Like for my people that are cricket enthusiasts, oh my God, then he runs into the ump. That's hilarious. In cricket, and people that don't follow cricket won't know, but the people that know is this is like a perfect Yorker that the batter just blocks. But then he gets a single out of it because it's like a nice bunt. Okay, that Harper one might be loaded now if we want to check because the high pitches are a bit of a clown show, right? They're a bit of a, I see what's happening here because this pitch is 5.14 feet above dead center of the zone, I think they measure it from, or the ground. Can't be from the ground. Maybe it can. I have no idea. Stop trying. Maybe it's from the ground. Is that high? Like some batters are taller. If you're like 6'8", like Judge, five feet isn't going to be that high. It's going to be like chest high. The two highest pitches hit were both Garrett Stubbs, a position player, just lobbing the pill. So that one, yeah, that's, if I saw that, I'd be like, that might be the highest ball hit. Maybe that is 5 feet high because it's coming down. He hits it around shoulder high, and I don't know how tall McCann is. Let's see. 6'2". So yeah, maybe. Anyway, and then I was like, well, that's, what's the highest like real pitch that's been hit? So I went to the next highest pitch. Guess what? It's our dude Stubby again. And Blade hammers that one. Now this one's over the heart of the plate. Well, not over the heart of the plate, but it's in the middle. And he hits it real nice. It's 40. That's 40 miles per hour. And I mean, that is, honestly, that one looks higher than the other one. Let's see. I'm going to make them the same size on screen. We're at 90% screen size and I have it the picture right to the top. So 90, okay. So that, now watch this. Oh, watch this beautiful math. I set the window of Chrome to 90%. So they should be the same size. If I toggle back and forth, oh, looks like a different camera angle. No, they zoomed in. I'd have to take this into Premiere and mess around with it, and I won't do that cuz that's too much time. Maybe a montage. Maybe just a zoop. Okay, back. Just spent way too much time organizing a lot of stuff for you guys, for me, for whoever. So now to find the true height, were these different? I forgot that this is the reason I paused to open up Adobe Premiere, because I ended up doing a bunch more. That makes this show more interesting. So kudos to me. Kudos to you guys for tuning in. Thanks for watching what I do, where, you know, this show, I just sit here and talk like a crazy guy. I had to keyframe because the cameras changed on me. You know, it's they zoomed out a little bit. So I had to keyframe every 5 frames to make it stay the same, so we could see once and for all which pitch by Garrett Stubbs was higher. Do we believe the data? We should. We totally should. So the one on the outside, the one they said was higher. And I'm just going to drag this line on the screen right to there. Okay. That's the height of that ball. Now, wow, look at that. The data was right. No need to do what I did at all. But I did it, and we're here. What else I did while I was underneath the hood was I got, this is the next highest one, and it's again a position player pitching. And that's not really in the spirit of what we got going on. So it's just another EFIS that Lindor sits on and drills for a single. So we had to keep going. Okay, now we got Smiley pitching the Jock Peterson. This might help us get what we wanted to get to. And this pitch is, oh, look at that guy. Back right, just getting into his seat, just in the nick of time. Let's see if he gets his eyes. Got his eyes there. Wow. Wow, that was cool. So that's an 0-2, probably a setup fastball, trying to set up something off that pitch, because you're just throwing that to change the eye line to make him a little uncomfortable. And Jock says, I'll just hit it, rockets it to first. So that's the highest pitch hit for a hit this season by Jock. That wasn't an EFIS pitch. Next up, what did I do? Oh, you know what I did? I went and I got the side angle of the Pete Crow Armstrong cricket hit, because that was just fascinating to me and I wanted to see if it bounced. I don't think it did. Wow, it didn't. He just catches it right at the end. Just block. Okay, so then I found the Bryce Harper one. So remember I said this Fraley one, which is to the right side, so he's a lefty, it's outside. It didn't like look to me like I wouldn't watch it and say, wow, that's crazy. I found the Harper one, which is the next one, and same. So I guess that doesn't look crazy to me. Farthest off the plate, hit for a home run. And if we're looking at the farthest ball hit for a home run by a lefty, the farthest outside pitch that a lefty took deep, it's Devers versus the Tonk Man, and he pulled it. So that's incredible that not only did he get that, it's the most outside pitch hit by any batter for a home run by any lefty, and he pulled it. And he pulled it. It was a four-seam, 93-mile-per-hour fastball. He pulled it to right center. Unbelievable what Devers can do. Just crazy. Okay, now, the farthest inside pitch to a lefty, we have Rosario up, and some sort of breaking ball. And he gets his hands in and pulls that like crazy, just clobbers it. So that was pretty inside, because the break starts inside. And he got to open up, get his hands clear. Now let's go to righties. This is the most inside pitch to a righty. And this pitch is more inside, so on the right, the pitcher's right side, than the Devers was. Super inside, 96-mile-per-hour sinker, and Vierling turns on it, sends it in to the outfield underneath above the Little Caesar sign. And to get his hands and get the barrel through, it's pretty impressive, because that was really inside. The most outside pitch hit by a righty batter is also wildly impressive. Now, he doesn't pull it like Devers did, but Gary Sanchez, this is 102 on the pitch, 102 miles per hour outside. No righty has hit a homer off a pitch more outside than that, which is a little surprising to me, because it's not crazy outside. Like, it doesn't, and Gary's standing close to the plate. I wouldn't have guessed that's the farthest, but it is. This is the lowest pitch hit for a home run by Mason Wynn, My Son Wins. And it is a yacker, 79 miles per hour, digs it out of the bottom of the zone, throws it for a home run. Pretty nice. And then this is the highest pitch hit for a home run, CJ Abrams. And that's 96 and kind of outside. I mean, that is crazy. It's pretty high. He just goes and gets it. That's what you got to do in like blitzball where they just fly. I got to go. Thank you. Subscribe. Goodbye.